Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome in to another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined in our downtown Chicago studios by Cam Ellis, Paul Aspen, and we've got Lawrence Holmes on the podcast this week.
Hey!
Yeah, that's an excited way to begin it.
I'm really excited. I feel like I've been disconnected from the league for a little while because of how quickly the Bears exited the playoffs. It's been a strange, like, month for me. Like, just even watching the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And plus, like I was telling you before we started recording, my trip to New Orleans was amazing.
Yeah, so people didn't care about the Super Bowl. Like, people actively made a point to not care about the Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Correct. And I thought it was all talk. And then you start looking at the numbers. Half of the audience that watched the Super Bowl in New Orleans last year didn't watch this year. Like, they had the lowest of any major market rating for the Super Bowl. And it was an amazing experience to be in the French Quarter during the Super Bowl that Saints fans thought that their team should be in, because you would have thought it was a Saints game day with all of the Saints paraphernalia, jerseys, and everything else that we saw. I will never forget that experience. It was tremendous.
If there's a city not to watch football in, I feel like it might be New Orleans.
Good point.
Yeah. 100% correct.
And, I mean, we all, like, my personal experience, I saw the front page the next day. Yeah. But what you were just telling us about, like, that them having a Super Bowl party to avoid the Super Bowl on the day of is wild.
Well, they had the parade with the second line that was leading the parade down the river. And everyone was just kind of into it. And it became this rallying cry. Another reason in New Orleans to party was
like, you need one.
Right. So instead of going into these establishments, we're just going to be in the streets. They were showing in the places I went to Royal House, because I feel like they have the best shrimp and grits. They had the 2009 Super Bowl on. So Super Bowl 44,
Legends,
right? That's the one that the Saints won. So that's Super Bowl 44, and they had UFC on. And we're very indignant if you asked to change the channel. There were some places that relented, but most places stayed pretty steadfast. And we're like, nope, we are not showing it. It was great. Like, it's on the list of things covering the NFL that I'll never forget.
Yeah, and you probably won't ever – no one will ever get to experience that ever again unless the NFL somehow manages to screw up another refereeing decision in a conference championship game. So next year, where are you going to be? Anyways, we got some Bears things to talk about here. The first half of this podcast, I want to get into sort of everyone's confidence level in Ryan Pace as we start looking ahead to what he's going to be able to do in the draft, what he's going to be able to do in free agency. So just kind of a general question here. Has Ryan Pace maximized the Bears' window to win with Mitch Trubisky on his rookie contract? Because right now you have a guy in Trubisky who, over the next 2 years, his cap hit will be $7.9 million in 2019, about $9.2 million in 2020. Then it goes up somewhere probably around $21 to $22 million if they pick up his fifth-year option in 2021. So, essentially, have the Bears done all of their heavy lifting now, or have they already done it to maximize that window? So, do we go into this offseason with relatively low expectations of what Ryan Pace can do? Or do we go into it saying he's got to get creative and we expect him to get creative to improve this roster in a way that maybe we're not thinking about right now?
I mean, I think I'm more A than B. I think he's made most of his moves. I don't think he has to, you know, I think he won the offseason last year and that set this up. I mean, he made, going back to the Trubisky draft day trade, he set it up then, making moves with conviction. You know, he believes in that trade. He did it last year with the Robinson, Gabriel, Burton trifecta, and then capping it all off with
Cody Parkey.
We're getting there. had a great draft, and then, you know, Mac at the end of it. So I'd say my confidence level, if we're doing like 1 to 10, is an 8. But that's obviously kicker we'll get to. But that's the major lingering issue. I don't think he's got to get too creative. He did say, you know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse, but I think they can get better from within.
Yeah, I don't think you need to be too creative at all. I mean, they were two bounces away from going to the second round of the playoffs, you know. You always can improve, and there are very specific positions that you can improve on this year. But I think that almost thinking that there's this creative way to fix the Bears is almost overthinking a little bit. I think sometimes not thinking is better. And if you know what that means, like there's a point when you're making moves just to make moves. And I don't think the Bears are necessarily in that spot right now.
The Mac move kind of solidified that you're in the go for it now mode where you're trying to do stuff while your quarterback is cheap. You know me, JJ. I've been a huge detractor of Ryan Pace. I think that until this offseason that there were lots of reasons to sit and wonder why the Bears gave him an extension. I thought that he was executive of the year last year. I thought with the way that they handled how kind of quietly, and I remember like Friday night, so that's what, August 31st, Friday night, hearing like a whisper from some people, well, you know, the Bears might be in on this Mac thing. And then you wake up 12 hours later and Khalil Mack is now a Bear. Like, that's huge. You go with the drafting of Roquan Smith and him being plug and play. Now, you could have some quibbles with how long it took for them to get Roquan in. But in his first game, he comes up with a sack. You had two guys that didn't need training camp necessarily to get themselves to a good position. I thought that almost all the moves that they made were Ryan Pace kind of asserting, I have a handle on how to do this. And I think the most important move outside the Mac move was the hiring of Matt Nagy. You got the head coach thing right. And if you get that right, it sets up everything else.
I want to go to this point. For anyone who's worried about the Bears not having enough salary cap space, you know, you're looking at somewhere probably around 11 to 12 million after you release Deion Sims. There are some other moves that can be made. Whatever, it's not a lot of cap space. If you didn't have Khalil Mack, you would have like 33 million in cap space. But you have Khalil Mack,
yeah.
And that is a net benefit.
I was going to say, you know, so what you do with that space?
You go get Khalil Mack. Yeah. So there's really nothing that I'm looking at this and I'm saying, well, they don't have enough money. You don't have enough money necessarily because you got one of the three best pass rushers in the NFL to come play for your team. So,
theoretically, like, you're saving cap space for a player like that.
Right. Exactly.
And you have that guy.
Right.
Like, the guy that everyone wants except for John Gruden. He's actually on your roster.
Except for John
Gruden. It'd be fun to get a Khalil Mack guy every year. It'd be awesome. It'd be super fun. But, yeah, it's not going to do it every year. You don't have that bullet
in your chamber
every single year. Right, exactly.
I mean, you pair that with the other moves he made. I mean, this is a guy who was a year ago, kind of your point, Lawrence, the Sporting News or someone had him as the worst GM in football?
Yeah.
It's quite a turnaround after a year.
So, Paul, you kind of mentioned it, the improvements coming from within. And you look at some of the guys on this team who are still young. You can say they haven't reached their primes. Obviously, Mitch Trubisky is at the top of that list. But beyond that, Roquan Smith, Anthony Miller, both had very impressive rookie seasons. You can throw James Daniels in there, too.
100%.
Other guys who you can look at and say that guy is still an ascending player. I think Allen Robinson, a guy who's going to be going into his first full year, being healthy in a couple years now, get the OTAs, knowing the language, all that stuff is going to help him out.
Eddie Jackson.
If Eddie Jackson's still getting better, that is a scary thought. You know, and even on the defensive line, you can look at a guy like Bilal Nichols.
Yeah. Sure.
As more of, you know, a depth piece, but a guy who had a really solid rookie year. Mm-hmm. There is a lot to be hopeful for that certain players will take that next step who are already on the roster, who are already cost controlled. So you don't have to worry about going out and spending $40 million to get an all-pro safety or another $20 million to get a top wide receiver. They've already done that.
I mean, Allen Robinson, obviously it was big news at the time when they got him, but he kind of had almost like a quiet season,
in a weird way.
I mean, very solid, like 700 something receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a little bit of an injury thing, but to your point, coming off an injury in a new offense, I mean, I think he's going to take a big jump next year. And Anthony Miller, how many times he separated his shoulder?
Yeah.
2, 3?
Literally while running with the football against Minnesota.
Yeah, right.
and that's worrisome.
Yeah, that's worrisome from that perspective. But also, he led the team in touchdowns, receiving touchdowns.
Right.
AB and I used to get into arguments about this in the green room and also on the show about Allen Robinson's productivity. And my argument was he made every big catch. Like, I get that you were expecting 1,200 yards, you know, 12 touchdowns, but every time they needed a big first down, he was the guy that Trubisky could go to routinely, and he would come up with the
you
play.
You know, there's one play that stands out.
I know what you're going to say here.
Is it going to be the play against the Giants?
Oh, no.
Because that's where I'm going with this.
I was
going
to say San Francisco, where he made the catch to get the first down.
I was actually backing up Lawrence on this, not making a snarky point about him fumbling the ball against San Francisco. But against the Giants, in that was the worst weather the Bears played in all year. Even worse than Miami, worse than whatever the coldest game. It was wet, it was slippery, it was cold, and they needed a fourth down conversion. And Chase Daniel found Allen Robinson. He ran a really tough route. He got open. And I joked with him after the game that he gave the most emphatic first down motion. I was like, it looked like you were going to separate your shoulder, how excited you were at that motion. But like, to Lawrence's point, that's the kind of player that he was. And I think he can build on that. He's still only, what, like 25, 26?
Right.
He's still a young player who's now going into his sixth year in the league. And with a full year to kind of prepare for it, I think you're absolutely right. I think he takes a big step this year.
And to his credit, I mean, the most popular Bears play in the first half was that early deep shot to Allen Robinson. And Mitch Trubisky overthrew four or five of those, I feel like,
right,
in the first half. Like, there were balls that maybe in year two of their offense that there are more catches because of the connection's better. Trubisky's not jazzed out of his mind the first 12 minutes of the game and overthrowing everyone.
Right.
I agree with you that it's a perfect sort of year two storyline.
So I put this down in the rundown about Ryan Pace. Does he have a blind spot? And then in parentheses, I wrote kicker five times in all caps, because quite frankly, Ryan Pace has not addressed the kicker position adequately. This is the one thing where you can look at, you can make fun of the Mike Glennon contract all you want. That was fine. He got out of it. Kicker is the one that the Bears have consistently got wrong since Ryan Pace has taken over. The releasing of Robbie Gould had a lot to do with Jeff Rogers and John Fox. Obviously, Ryan Pace is the final say on that. Whatever you want to say about Robbie Gould, that was a mistake to let him go, even though it did kind of jumpstart his career. And then replace him with Connor Barth, a guy who in 2017, after Mitch Trubisky makes this incredible run on 4th and 18 against the Lions to pick up a first down, misses a game-tying field goal. And it was sort of like, okay, here we go again. Then, you know, you cycle through Cairo Santos and Mike Nugent, and then you settle on Cody Parkey. And he got that wrong. And it's just, for so many years now, the Bears cannot get this kicker position right. And the pressure now is very much on Ryan Pace to get this right, because if the Bears lose another playoff game next year and they get knocked out of the playoffs because the kicker wasn't good enough, then I don't, you know, Ryan Pace isn't going to lose his job over it, but he will always then be kind of tagged as the GM who couldn't get that one position right that maybe held the Bears back.
And the point that you make is so important, JJ, having a kicker paired with your young quarterback. It sounds stupid, but it makes all the sense in the world, where you have games where he's not going to complete those drives and finish them with touchdowns, where you need to be able to capitalize on him getting you into near the red zone by getting some points out of it. And if you have no confidence in him, and we saw, I would probably say once we got to around Thanksgiving, we saw that Nagy's thoughts on Parkey were like, okay, I might have to start going for two. And I'll say to you guys afterwards, oh, well, we ran the numbers and this is what we need to do. But I think that played a big role in the way that some of the games were coached down the stretch. So Pace has got to get it right. The Bears don't have to be number one, but they can't be number 31. And that's what they've been since they got rid of Robbie Gould. You've got to make sure that you can get someone that can get kicks. Now, the resume for Parkey was that he was that guy. If you were talking up to 47, 48 yards, he was almost automatic. I don't know what happened, and I don't know if that's something that you do end up talking with your special teams coordinator about or holding them accountable for.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, that didn't work. And then on top of it, like the insult to injury, him on the Today Show, like I was watching from 40 miles away the Nagy press conference, and I could see the steam coming out of his ears.
Yeah.
So when he talked about that.
And like the fact that they gave him every benefit of the doubt and gave him chance after chance, it's not like they, you know, were all over him when he was missing kicks in November. They stuck with him, and then he still goes and does that.
And I mean, they didn't know he was doing it.
Right.
That's what kills me, is that they were just sort of in the dark until he wouldn't even really mention how early on they were given a heads up, but it really sounded like it was day of, morning of. It
wasn't in the exit interview.
Right, no, exactly. Well,
yeah, right. And the other issue is that you gave Cody Parkey this contract where it's structured to the Bears won't be able to cut Cody Parkey until probably after June 1st. Because the way his contract is structured, they don't have a lot of cap space, and it would cost them, I think it's 125 or $1.1 million. I don't have the numbers in front of me. It would cost them a little bit against the cap to cut Cody Parkey before June 1st.
Do we go down this rabbit hole of, like, if you're Cody Parkey, do you show up? I mean, if you're the Bears, can you tell them not to show up before
I think
June
you show
1st?
Up because you've got to kick for someone.
Right. Right.
Well, I think he has
to save your job.
And
I mean,
you want
to
show up.
Show up, but the Bears like, eh.
I do think this will be a really interesting test of the Bears culture.
Yeah.
Because Matt Nagy was very clearly unhappy with Cody Parkey.
Right.
And I maintain Matt Nagy would not be unhappy with Cody Parkey if he didn't hear from players and knew that his players were also not happy with Cody Parkey.
Wouldn't you love to see that text exchange? Like, I kept thinking about that as I was watching Parkey. I'm like, can you imagine, like, being Mac? Or, you know, being Akeem Hicks, waking up, seeing Cody Parkey on television, you're broken, you're beaten, you've lost this game, and you see him and you're like, really?
After you just went to bat for him.
Right, in the locker room after
that
loss.
In the locker room after the game.
No one threw him under the bus, and he's still doing this.
And it wasn't even like, you know, they were like, that's our guy, he's our brother, you know, you're not going to make every kick, but he's our dude. And then they just got pulled out under them.
So this brings me to kind of my next point about Ryan Pace. How confident are we that he can find a mid-round, late-round gem, or in this case, potentially an undrafted free agent kicker, and build some competition there?
I think you have to, and I don't think it's a, you know, find an undrafted free agent. I think it's multiple. I think it's you bring in undrafted free agents. If you burn, you've only got a few picks, but if you burn one on a kicker, like maybe Justin Yoon, just using a local-ish guy name out there. A veteran who's out there, you know, I think it's you bring in everybody and let them kick. And if it's you hate for it to be a week by week thing, but I mean, Lawrence, I want to get your take on, like, are you on board with the Robbie Gould reunion tour, which might not even be an issue because he might get tagged in a week. But my thing on it, on that is if you bring Robbie back, you're saying the job's yours regardless. Like there is no, you're doing what you did with Cody Parkey.
Yes. But 82 out of 85.
Sure. Right. Right.
I mean, it's not like you're just bringing Robbie back because he's Robbie.
Sure.
You're bringing him back because he's still an effective kicker. And one could make the argument that he's a better kicker now than the 2 years previous to when they cut him.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
so
I agree.
So it makes sense. He might be too expensive for them. You got a lot of money tied up in kicker between him and Parkey if you bring in Robbie Gould. I think that your method is – I wouldn't go as extreme where I'm bringing the kicker clown car in every week.
Right.
But for camp purposes, we're going to take a look at a lot of people during the off-season stuff. And then when we get to training camp, I suspect that Cody Parkey will be gone by then.
Right.
It is going to be a competition. Find yourself a veteran that still has a little bit left. Mm-hmm. Find an undrafted free agent or a priority free agent after the draft. Whoever can kick right now, none of the guys that went to Goose Island, but whoever can kick, you're looking to bring them in and see what they can do.
Fortunately, no one who's going to be kicking for the Bears is going to be kicking on like a small piece of turf in the middle of a street.
That was iced over. That was the worst part, is like seeing all those guys just slide.
The first guy. Just
the guy in the Fenwick shirt.
He had been there since 7 in the morning.
Can you imagine being the first one there, and then that's just your move, and you just slip like that?
So much pressure. All right, we got to take a quick break here on the Under Center podcast. We're going to come back, get a couple more thoughts on Ryan Pace, and then go around the league for some news and notes because, hey, the NFL offseason, we're like 2 minutes into it, and it's already more exciting than the baseball offseason. So stick with us here on the Under Center podcast. We'll be back after the break.
For monster coverage of the Monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, JJ, Paul, Cam, and Lawrence back here on the Under Center podcast. Lawrence, you and I are about to go tape a bunch of grades after this. We're going to be rolling them out over the next starting on Sunday, I believe. Yep. Yeah. So I'm going to start with this. Where would you grade Ryan Pace, just Ryan Pace, in 2018 and then over the course of his full time with the Bears?
Over his time with the Bears, I would say that he's a C minus. And I would say that he's a C minus because he was an A last year. Mm-hmm. I thought that that lifted his grade up tremendously. I still think, and I know that people get mad when you bring up the concept of, well, third rounders don't matter. But I still am flustered by, it's not that you took Trubisky. And I think whenever I bring it up, people get mad about that. It's that you thought he was that much better than the alternatives. And what it turns out to be is him and Watson are probably about the same. And Patrick Mahomes may be an all-timer. So how is it that you thought that he was so much better that it was worth trading the picks to go up? But I digress. He did everything right except for the kicker in 2018. So I just to give you a little preview, I'm giving him an A as far as that goes.
Are you an academic?
I am.
You drop letter grades for, like, not showing up or not addressing certain issues? I mean, like, that's got to be a full letter grade.
No.
Kicker, no?
No, not a full letter grade.
Okay.
No, because now it cost him.
Right.
It cost him, right? But the rest of the work is so good that he had, like, a 95. Like, if we're going by numbers, he had a 95.
Right.
And then the kicker doesn't work out, so it drops him down to, like, a 92. Okay. 91. Okay. It's right. Still an A.
You're the professional, so I'll defer to you. I'm going for this year, I'm going to say a B plus, because I think you do drop the letter. You drop because of the kicker issue.
Sure.
I mean, everything else is an A. The coaching, hiring an A, the draft, which he continues to do well, especially in the later rounds, an A. And I think he's set them up. And I'm going to go a little higher on the 4 year just because he set them up for this window, this championship window. So I'm going to give him a full B, because regardless of what happened in the past and where he was a year ago, I'm going to give him credit for kind of the vision, and he set this all up to take advantage of this potential Super Bowl championship window.
Yeah, I think B sounds right for me, at least. Can I give you a kicker take?
Yeah.
I have one.
What do you got?
You can do better than Cody Parkey. You can. Cody Parkey hit like 4 or 5
posts. Don't do it.
If that is 6 inches to the right or left, we are not talking about Cody Parkey right now. You can do better, but was he as bad as people are now drumming this up to be?
But he missed 11 kicks, though.
Right.
Right. But hear me out. Since 2013, the average kick field goal percentage every year, 84%. Cody Parkey's been better than that in 3 of the last 5 years, and if he kicks 5 kicks that are an inch too over, he only misses 2 kicks this year. Like, he is not a great kicker. I will agree that. But there's some luck here involved, and he was not shanking them left and right.
Damn, that is the hottest.
He was hitting
a
lot of posts.
Ellis and Island over here.
I'm just saying, I think that maybe we are starting to sort of roll out of control here to this point. You're never going to see someone hit that many posts again, I don't think.
Unless you just missed entirely left.
I'm just saying.
Get out of here with your reason.
You can do better, but I think you can do worse.
Get out of here with your reason takes. That makes too much sense. I'm going to give Ryan Pace, over the course of his time with the Bears, I'm actually going to go higher. I'm going to go an A-, because he's drafted well. He's hit on a lot of guys. Maybe he hasn't, you know, he obviously whiffed on Kevin White, but you hit on Eddie Goldman, you hit on Cody Whitehair, hit on Adrian Amos. He hit on, you know, a lot of these guys in the mid rounds. It looks like he's obviously hit on Eddie Jackson, Tariq Cohen, Bilal Nichols, you know, Anthony Miller, James Daniels, these guys. So I think he's drafted very well. And I think everything he did up until he drafted Mitch Trubisky just doesn't matter in terms of free agency.
Sure.
It just doesn't matter. So what he's done since drafting Mitch Trubisky has been nothing short of excellent, but I'm going to give him only a B+ for 2018, so I'm actually going to go lower, because even though Cam gave a very reasoned take on this, he still didn't get the kicker position right, and they lost a playoff game because of it, so that will ding him enough in my mind to lose it.
You guys have convinced me. I'll move him up to a C. I'll take the minus away.
All right.
I'll move him up to a C.
They get
overall.
Degrees. That's all you need. That's fine.
C's get degrees.
C's
absolutely.
Get degrees.
All right, I want to go quickly around the NFL here with a couple of questions. Give me, on a 1 to 10 scale, the likelihood that Ryan Pace gets super creative and the Bears somehow trade for Antonio Brown or sign Le'Veon Bell. I'm going to give Antonio Brown like a 1, with 1 being the lowest, and Le'Veon Bell a 2, because Cam, we were talking about this before the show, because he traded for Khalil Mack, now you can never say, well, that's never going to happen because, well, he traded for Khalil Mack. And someone in this room wrote a story a week before the Bears traded for Khalil Mack saying the Bears will not trade for Khalil Mack.
We won't name names.
So I can't do that anymore. So I don't know. What do you think? Any chance of this?
I feel like it's 1-1. I do think that there is a need for back in between Cohen and Howard. I think they'll find it in the draft. So I'm gonna say that they will stay away from making a trade for Le'Veon Bell and the, 14.5? That what would he be on the transition tag? It would
about
be
that, yeah.
About that. And I think they'll stay away from it. So I won't go – they won't move on either one of those guys. And they definitely don't want Antonio Brown messing up their vibe that they got going in that locker room right now.
Not much of a wee guy.
He's not much
no,
of a wee
no.
guy.
No.
So Antonio Brown, I'll do a 1. And then Le'Veon, just because of the creativity and it's – I mean, it's very much could be an area of need. I'll go up to a 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think either one is likely at all. But I'd say Le'Veon. I'd even take Antonio Brown out of the conversation. No interest there.
I think 1-3 sounds good. Do you think that there is what was more unlikely at the time, signing Khalil Mack or last year signing Le'Veon Bell this year?
To me, signing Le'Veon Bell, because Khalil Mack, as it turned out, we obviously didn't know at the time that John Gruden was willing to part with Khalil Mack, but it fit with what the Bears were trying to do, and they had the cap space, they had the window to go and get Khalil Mack, and they certainly had the need. I think Lawrence is right. I think you need that back that's sort of the in-between cheaper option. If you go and get Le'Veon Bell, now you're talking about a guy who, I mean, he would be awesome in Matt Nagy's system, sure. But he just took a year off. You don't know if he's on the decline as a running back. Running backs usually don't get any better after their first 4 or 5 years in the league. So it would be taking somewhat of a risk to commit. You know, you'd have to shed cap space to then sign Bell with most of your remaining cap space. And that would be somewhat of a risk, but the upside would be tremendous. But like you said, I think I'm probably at about a 2 on that one.
You know who would be the perfect back? And I don't think financially it could work out because this guy is going to get big money. Tevin Coleman would be.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I just don't think that. Yeah, I think you're right that he's probably going to be a little too rich for their taste.
Would be exactly what they like. I even think more so than Kareem Hunt. I think he would be perfect for.
Yeah, because he's going to play a full season
mm-hmm.
and doesn't have all the baggage that comes with Kareem Hunt. All right, real quick. This is something that I wanted to throw out there because I am actually kind of fascinated by this idea of the Detroit Lions maybe looking into taking Kyler Murray with the 8th overall pick.
I think he'll be gone.
Really?
I think you're right.
Yeah, I do too.
Matt Patricia and Matthew Stafford apparently don't get along because Matthew Stafford is a Lions player and Matt Patricia is the Lions head coach.
Does anyone get along with Matt Patricia?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. And Matthew Stafford, really, he's making a lot of money to not be the kind of dynamic quarterback who's going to take the Lions to where they've never gone in franchise history. Kyler Murray could be that guy, and if you're the Lions, the bold move, it would be such a bold move to do this, but you could draft Kyler Murray, say, you know, have Stafford stick around for another year and then cut him or trade him and give the job to Kyler Murray and see if, hey, you know what, this kid who's so dynamic, so awesome at football, but has obviously these size issues, whatever.
I'm not sure the Lions are as forward-thinking as you are as an organization.
Fire me, Bob Quinn.
All right. I also think that there's enough smoke around the Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray thing to make you wonder if he might abandon Josh Rosen
and
draft Murray.
Kingsbury coming out and saying Josh Rosen's our guy, of course you're going
to
say
right,
that.
You have
you can't
to.
Do anything right now, so right. You have to go say that.
I think, I don't know if it's so very Belichickian to take.
It's not. You're
yeah.
right.
So, I mean, that's my biggest argument against it. Okay.
Yeah, it would have been more Patricia speed to make the trade for Joe Flacco. Like, that would have
yes.
been.
Vic Fangio, good luck, brother.
Right.
Poor Vic.
Yeah, no, I think that I sort of, I don't know if my head believes the Arizona Cardinals stuff, but my heart really wants to. And I just really want to believe that there's this bizarre trade coming up. And I don't think he makes it to eight. And it would be cool, I guess, because watching Kyler Murray twice a year would be fun. But I don't see him falling to Detroit at eight. But
the Giants are at seven, right?
Yeah, the Jaguars are at seven. The Giants are at six.
Speaking of not forward-thinking GMs, Bob Gettleman.
Right. Well, and I mean, I know that they've already been like, we don't like short quarterbacks, but it feels a little smoky, a little smoke screeny to me. Jacksonville is where, if I were running Jacksonville, I would have a conversation with Detroit.
Yeah.
I'd love to have your quarterback down here, because then Matthew Stafford could get some stuff done, and maybe that defense bounces back and you have a situation where you have a team that was supposed to, which is why I keep cautioning Bears fans, because if we were doing this podcast a year ago, we would have said Vikings Jaguars in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So you have to, the NFL is weird.
Yeah.
We can have a whole podcast on that subject, but we are out of time. I'm going to leave with this one last thought, because you brought up the Jaguars. I don't want Drew Lock jokes on The Good Place.
Your destiny. It's your destiny.
It's the destiny.
That's
poor,
so good.
Poor Drew Lock. Anyways, we got to get out of here. Lawrence, thanks for joining us. For Paul and Cam, I'm JJ, and we'll catch you next time on the Under Center podcast on NBC Sports Chicago.